Y'all are multiplying for Sunday school, aren't you? Oh, God is so good to us. I guess if I was going to title this morning, I would call this, God Knows You and He's Provided For You. I'm praying that God will help us this morning and He would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Amen. Actually, I pray that for you very often. That's one of the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. I believe it was for the Ephesians or the Colossians 1 also, that He would enlighten the eyes of their understanding. Because how many knows we need our understanding enlightened? And there may be some things that I say this morning that may take a little bit of mind renewal. And that's okay, because how many knows we're supposed to take the Word of God and renew our mind with it? Because we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, once we get born again. But the Bible says put it on, right? All right. I'm believing the Holy Spirit is going to help us this morning, that He's going to speak to each and every one of us the Rhema anointed word, right? That's the one that causes faith to come. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. And this is what God said to Jeremiah, but it's not only what He knows about Jeremiah or what He's saying to him. What we're fixing to read is God knows this about every single one of us. So we're going to start reading here. First, we're going to read it in the King James, and then I'll read it in the Amplified and a little bit more of it. So King James, starting in verse 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anioth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Whew, that's a mouthful. He says, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, and it's Jeremiah talking, he says, saying, notice what he says. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Notice what he said. He says, I formed you. See, there's a difference when you was formed than when you was made. You was made before your mom and daddy ever got together. See, when you go all the way back, all of us that has a body, a physical body that lives here in the earth or has ever been here on the earth, you came through Adam. Right? Because see, when God made Adam, He formed his body from the dust of the earth. Then the Bible says He breathed the pneuma or the spirit into him. And in Adam was all mankind. There has never been but one person born into the earth that did not come through the seed of Adam. Y'all know what I'm saying when I say seed, right? I don't want to go any quite no further than that. The only one that was ever born that did not come through Adam was Jesus, right? He came through the seed of God through a woman, Mary, right? That's why the Bible calls it a virgin birth. She had no need of a man because God was Jesus' Father. But every person that's ever been born into the earth, we came through Adam. So that's how come whenever Adam sinned, all mankind was doomed and born into sin. If Adam had never sinned, all mankind would have been born in life, right? So he says here, before I formed you, in your mother's womb, I knew you. Every person that has ever been born into the earth, before you got here, you was in God. Oh, thank y'all for them two amens and yep. I told you it might take a little mind renewal. You, every person in this planet that ever was born and ever will be born, was in Adam. Right? Okay. The Bible talks about because Adam sinned, because of one man's transgression, I believe it might be like around Romans chapter 5, somewhere around in there, that because of Adam, one man's sin, trespass, sin entered in. But the Bible calls Jesus Christ the last Adam. If one Adam messed it up, then another Adam is what had to come and fix it. So therefore, when we get born again, we all, the Bible says, now every one of us, our life is hid in God. You was in God from the beginning. Right? Then you got breathed into Adam. You get born again through Jesus Christ, His blood, and everything that He done. Now you go back in God. The Bible says, I believe it's over in Colossians chapter 3, that now our life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. So the only way to know who you are and be who you're supposed to be and who God formed you to be, sanctified you to be, called you and qualified you to be is in Him. That's why we're not supposed to identify with that old man. Because, see, the Bible says over there, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5:17, that once you get born again, if you get in Christ, now you're a new creature, a new creation. You've never been before, and you don't know who you are. See, when Adam and Eve, when God made them, you know they had no belly buttons. Y'all ever thought about that? This is just a little side note. The only reason you have a belly button, Samantha, is because that's where you was hooked to your mama. Adam and Eve was not hooked to a mama, so therefore they didn't have one. Not that it really means anything, I'm just saying. I think about certain things sometimes. But anyway, before Adam and Eve sinned, God had told them, He said, don't eat of this tree. He said, when you eat of this tree, you're going to die. Now think with me here what the Bible says. Adam and Eve was made in the likeness of God. They know no wrong. They know no evil. They have not experienced any kind of adversity, calamity, anything like that in the entire earth or their bodies or anything else. They're just like God. They think like God. They talk like God. They have God's authority. God put them here, and what did He tell them? The Bible says He blessed them and He gave them dominion over absolutely everything. Right? To rule and reign the earth just like God would do. But then we know they thought like God. They talked like God. They had God's authority. They had dominion. They had everything just like God. But the tree that they ate of, that tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they thought like God, Sandy, and they lived out of their spirit. Right? They're so much so, they're clothed. They don't even know they're naked. They're clothed with the glory of God. But once they ate of that tree, now what is that tree? Is a tree of knowledge. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 that the only enemy that I can find that the Bible talks about that is the enemy of God is a carnal mind. Right? Ain't that what Romans 8 says? It says a carnal mind, to be spiritually minded, is what? Life and peace. They were spiritually minded before they ever ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they had life, not just existence. They had eternal life on the inside of them. They could never die. But once they ate of that tree, now they've lost that spiritual mind, Monty. Because they died spiritually. And then they no longer could walk and talk with God in the cool of the day, because now where there had been faith and belief and trust and confidence, now there's fear and doubt and shame and guilt. So the Bible says they ran from Him. When God came to walk and talk with them in the cool of the day like He had always done, Adam said, I was afraid and I hid myself. So that tree that they ate of was the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But notice what? Knowledge. Now they have gone from spirit to flesh. Because now they're no longer spiritually alive unto God. The Bible says all of us, right, we were born spiritually dead. The Bible says once we get born again, we are now alive unto God, right? The Bible says we was dead in our trespasses and our sins, right? Y'all get that? Spiritually dead. So now they can no longer think like God. They can no longer talk like God. They no longer have the dominion and the authority of God Himself. That they lost everything. So now what has come that used to be spirit is now flesh. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, to be fleshly minded is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, Romans 8 says. It says, but a carnal mind is enmity against God. Which you translate that, it means an enemy against God. Why? Because now it's no longer spirit. It's flesh, thinking, sense, reasoning. What you feel, what you see, what you hear. Right? That's why he says, even though if I'm born again, if I don't renew my mind and begin to think like God thinks and talk like God talks and do like God, it's going to still be death to me. Proverbs says there's life and death, what? In the power of my tongue. So he tells Jeremiah here, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So every one of us, he says the same thing about me and you. Because every one of us, according to, we was in God before he ever started anything. Right? Because it came out, we all came out of God into Adam's seed. Right? So that means, Sandy, before your mom and daddy ever got together, God knew you. He had an intimate acquaintance with you, and he already had a plan for your life before your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents ever got together. The plan of God didn't start the day you got born again. The plan of God started inside of God before he ever started this thing. And God, listen, there is nothing hid from God. There's nothing he don't know. God knew exactly what Adam and Eve was going to do. And notice what he did. He did not treat them like they was going to, even though he knew they was going to. He treated them just like as if he didn't know it. But because God has foreknowledge of everything and everybody, the Bible says Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before God ever started, Adam and Eve and me and you and everybody else, he made a way for redemption. I'm telling you, if your God don't go past you and your little family and your little, you are not serving a big enough God. There is absolutely nothing that he does not know. According to Scripture, me and you and everybody is imprinted like a tattoo on the palms of his hands. Ain't that what it says? The Bible says every thought you have, he knows before you even think it. Not just you. Listen to that. Every person on the planet all at one time. That is amazing to me, Monty. It's hard for me to keep up with my thoughts sometimes. But that he knows everybody's thought and every intention of every heart at all times of 6 billion people or more. Oh, we serve an awesome God. And he would say about me and you, before I ever formed you in your mother's womb, I was intimately acquainted with you. I knew you. Right? Let's see what else he says here. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, think about that for yourself. He says, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Talking about you and me. Every person. He says, and I ordained thee. That's every person. I told you the plan of God did not start the day you got born again. The plan of God started before he ever breathed me and you into Adam. And he says here, I ordained you. Every person on the planet has a calling and an ordination. They're not all the same. Like he's talking to Jeremiah here, he says all of this, and he says, as a prophet. Everybody's not called to be a prophet. Everybody's not called to be an evangelist. Everybody is not called to all things, right? But there is something that you're called to be and to do. Right? The Bible even talks about we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's right under, I believe, Romans 28. But he says, I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Now let me read that in the Amplified here. I'm going to read verses 4 through 10 and then 18 and 19 in the Amplified. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, put yourself in there, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you. I don't know about y'all, but that's awesome to me. Because I spent years of my life in guilt and shame and fear and felt like if anybody finds out who you really are. And see, there's people, they carry that for their all their lives. And they're not any worse than anybody else. But he says, before I formed thee, he says, I knew you and I approved of you, Monty. He says, as my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart. I have used that one on Travis. It's the day, I would say nearly the day I got saved. I didn't know it the day I got saved. The Bible said in the Old Testament, God said, every firstborn male child that parts the womb is holy. So when he's looking good, Samantha, and when he's looking bad, and he's looking like, yeah, I don't know, I would whoop that out on the devil and remind myself. And the Bible says, God said, remind me of my word. He said, I watch over my word to perform it, that it accomplishes what I sent it out to do. So when he would be looking all this kind of crazy, I say, thank you, Lord. You said, God, that every firstborn male child that parts the womb is holy. Therefore, God, Travis is holy. He is set apart unto you for your plans, God, for your purposes, God. He can't go nowhere. And if he does, he's a doggone miserable Samantha. He has to come back. Ask him. What you laughing for? That's every one of us. I'm telling you right now, if you've ever been born again and you get away from God, well, some call it backslide, all you got to do is just let down and the devil will take you where you don't want to go. If you've ever been born again and close to God and you get afar from Him, I'm telling you, you're so miserable you can't stand yourself. And you think it's everybody else. What you laughing for, Richard? Because, see, it's only God. It's only His presence. It's only His will. It's only His plan. And the Bible says His plans are good. Don't mean you won't face bad. We live in a fallen world that has not yet had its redemption. And we have a real devil and real people out here that serve the devil. So, yeah, Jesus Himself said, as long as you're in the earth, as long as you live in this world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But He didn't stop there. He says, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. See, I'm not fighting, Samantha, from a place of trying to gain victory. I can't gain the victory. That's why Jesus already did it. But I do, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and the authority given unto me in the name of Jesus Christ, enforce Satan's defeat and Jesus' victory. Right? I don't know about y'all, but that makes me feel good. God, you approved of me. I can't tell you how many years of my life has been spent of people telling me, what's the matter with you? What are you smiling for, Johnny? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You're just like your mama. Why you talk like that? Why do you act like that? Do you know what that feels like, Monty? Over and over and over, it's like rejection. Do you know what rejection feels like? To the point that I would be like, well, I don't care, you blankety blank. I am the way I am. Suck it up, buttercup. And if you don't like it, hit the road. See, it made me hard. Why? Because, see, if you're hard, you don't hurt no more. But then you hurt people. I don't get that much anymore now, Johnny. Maybe they just got tired of telling me, figuring out I ain't going to change, or maybe I'm just better. I don't know which one. But God said He approved of me. He says, as my chosen instrument, he says, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you. Now he's telling Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations. He's appointed me and you as something. Now I'm not saying it's fivefold ministry, right? But he has appointed each one of us. Number one, he's given us, the Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation, right? But I mean, every one of us has got way more than that. Verse 6, then I said, Jeremiah talking, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Ain't that what we say? Oh, God, I can't get up there in front of all them people. Ain't that what, what's his face? Moses, ain't that what he said? Oh, God, I can't speak. I stutter. Thought he was going to get out of it. He says, okay, I'll give you Aaron to talk for you. God's not asking you to have the ability. He's already put the ability in me and you. His ability of whatever it is that he's ordained you and separated you to be and to do. He says, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am only a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Now listen what he says. Be not afraid. That's going to come to every one of us. Every time God tells you to do something, that's going to come. That ain't God. Who do you think you are? Well, just tell him who you are, right? Number one, I'm a child of God, and God has called me, anointed me, appointed me, qualified me, and said, do it. He goes on and he says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. That made me think of Isaiah this morning when Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Bible says the angel came and touched his lips, right, with the coals off the altar. He says, see, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations and of the kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Now skip over to verse 18 in the Amplified. He says, for I, behold, God talking, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the successive kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests. And when I was reading this, I thought about Ephesians 6, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He says, and against the people of the land, he says, giving you divine strength, which no hostile power can overcome. Aren't we in the New Testament called more than conquerors? We're called overcomers, right? He says, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not finally prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now, don't just take that as Jeremiah, because like I said, it applies to every one of us. God just said that to Jeremiah at the time. Because God breathed every one of us into Adam. So we was in him first, so therefore he had to be intimately acquainted with every one of us. That's how come those that don't get born again and don't serve God, he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What? I never knew you. I'm not intimately acquainted with you. But Hebrews, gosh, this is Galatians. That's why that ain't looking right. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. If you don't have one, Beth puts it on the screen. He says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, glory to God, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. But all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you realize what that's saying? I just said it a while ago. God knows every thought, this is just to back up the word, using the word to back up what I said. He knows every thought a person has 24/7. He knows the intents of my heart when I don't even know them myself. But notice, he says, not a creature. You know what that means? The plans of the devil is not hid from God. Monty, if me and you's playing chess, and I can see into your mind, I see five moves before you ever make this one of what you're going to do. You know what I do? I know every move you're going to make. So therefore, you can't beat me. God knows every plan the devil plans for me and you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. The Bible, I believe it's Proverbs, talks about how that people sets a trap for you, a snare for you like a bird or whatever, but how the Holy Spirit will lead you around it. Say the devil's got a plan over here, Johnny, on the right. Holy Ghost will tell you to go left. Why? God knows. I don't know. He knows. He knows absolutely everything, and there's nothing that is hid from God. So everything is going to go just like God has planned. Now, maybe my life didn't go just like God had planned, but he knew it, Richard. And guess what he did? He weaved all of mine and your mistakes into that plan. And made sure that every road come back out straight to him. And got us right back on the track that he fully intended to begin with. Oh, that is amazing to me. God is an awesome God. Glory, hallelujah. But he says nothing's hid from him. Let's look at Psalm 139. Now that was Jeremiah saying all that. Now we're going to see David saying some of the same stuff. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, right, let every word be established. We should have at least two different writers saying basically the same thing for it to be true. That we could say that's the truth of the word, right? So you can't just pull one scripture out of context and make a doctrine on it. Y'all getting real quiet. I know it's in here. I read it this morning. All right. Psalm 139, how do I got this? I got this in the Amplified, so Beth will put it on the screen for us. Now, this is David talking to the Lord. What have I got on that? 1 through 17? Okay. He says, O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. I know he ain't read Jeremiah, Monty, but he's saying the same thing. God was telling Jeremiah, I've known you. David's saying, God, I know you know me. You've searched me thoroughly. He says, you know my down sitting. To put yourself in here, because it's you too. We just got through reading. There's nothing and nobody hidden from him that he don't see. The Bible says he keeps his mind on me and you all the time. Right? He says, you know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought. Afar off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue still unuttered. You ain't even said it yet. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me and shut me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Your infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high above me. I cannot reach it. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? Is there anywhere? No. He goes on and he says, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be the only light about me, even the darkness hides nothing from you. But the night shines as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to you. For you did form me in my inward parts. Sounds just like Jeremiah, don't it? Just different way of saying it. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written. When? Before ever they took shape. When as yet there was none of them. He says, how precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. Or you could say about me. How vast is the sum of them. But notice what he says. There's more books in heaven than just the Lamb's book. Monty, I have no idea how many books with your name on them. I have no idea how many books that I have with my name on it. And David said these books was written before they was ever brought to pass. Before he was ever even formed, God wrote David's name on these books and wrote out the plans that God had for him. Now, just because God has all these good plans, and just because God knew us before our mom and daddy ever shared a Coke, right? Come on. However you want to say that. Before all of that, God had a plan. Now, I get born again. I don't follow God's plan. I don't know God has a plan. I don't want God. I don't care nothing about God. I believe there is one. I'm talking about before I get born again. But I don't want nothing to do with God. Are you serious? I'm not a sissy. I'm not a candy. And I want to have fun. And to me, reading your Bible and going to church, that ain't much fun. But then lo and behold, I'm not going to go through all that. I get born again. The first thing I want to do, Monty, is go to church and read my Bible. Why? I am now a new creation on the inside in my spirit. I still look the same. I still think pretty much the same. But my desires now have changed. Because now I have been born of the Spirit of God. And now my spirit is alive unto God. And I hunger for what His will is. So now everybody that gets born again, now our job is to serve God. To worship God. To obey God, find out His will and do His will, or you could say, find out His plan, and the Holy Ghost is trying to tell us all the time. That's His job. He is the revealer, right? One of His names. He takes what of Jesus's, and He says He reveals it unto us. Everything that Jesus has done for us, everything that He's given to us, everything that was bought for us, the Holy Ghost takes as what is His and He reveals it. He downloads it into my spirit. But now my head has no knowledge of it. So if you pray in other tongues, the Bible says when you pray in other tongues, howbeit you speak mysteries in the Spirit. Right? Am I quoting Scripture? Why are they mysteries? Because God has locked these things up. His plan, His destiny for my life inside my spirit. Right? But my head doesn't know. My head still has this sense and reason because they ate from the tree of knowledge, Monty. So that's why I have to take the Word of God and begin to see what God says about me. Number one, you are already everything God has said you are when you get born again. You are right. Listen to me. You're going to have to separate whatever you do from who you are. Because, see, your do is your action, but who you are is what God made you. See, Jesus never sinned, but the Bible says He was made sin for me and you. He never sinned, but he was made sin. Me and you was never righteous. Right? But we were made righteous. So I don't care if you killed somebody before you come to church. If you will repent of that, there'll be absolutely nothing held against you. Now, I'm not telling you won't have to go out here and serve society, life in prison or whatever that you get. I'm not saying that. But with God, you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we are not to sin, the Bible says. But the Bible says if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, right? And His blood, every drop of that sinless blood, that if we will confess our sin, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sin, and not only that, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? So I am everything God says I am. I am. You are. I don't care if you got born again 30 minutes ago. You are righteous in the sight of God. Because the blood of Jesus is like your lawyer. That when we stand before the Lord, Jesus, our advocate, says, Father, the blood, my blood. And that's the only thing, man, you better be confessing before Him. Not I went to church, not I read the Bible, not I healed the sick, not I fasted 40 days. None of that. Because He's going to say, uh-oh. Ain't nobody get in here without the blood. But you already are everything that God has said that you are. You are already ordained. Right? Now you are ordained, sanctified, set apart, holy. Golly, but we'll have to stop here just a minute. I didn't hear one amen on that. You already are. Right now, you cannot get any more holy than you already are, because it's not by what you do. It's who you have put your trust in. His blood made you holy. I didn't say everything you do is holy. I said you are. Ain't that what the Bible says? Am I saying anything the Bible don't say? See, but you got to believe that about you, Richard. I got to believe that about me. Because see, I will live whatever I believe. If I believe I'm a worm, I'll always act like a worm. I'll think like a worm. The Bible says, not as a man is, so is he. The Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he. Because see what I think, and I'm not talking about where I cast thoughts down. I'm talking about you got core beliefs in here, okay? The way I think is the way I'm going to see things. It's going to be, they told them over there in the Old Testament, whenever they went up there and they spied out the land and they come back, and them ungodly ones, what'd they say? We are as grasshoppers in their sight. They didn't even see them. What are they saying? We believe we're grasshoppers and we can't do it. That's how we see ourselves. Right? And that's what the devil tell you. What did Tobiah and Sanballat tell him whenever they was building that wall? Oh, if even a fox runs over that wall, it's going to fall down. What are they doing? Intimidation. Listen, that's the devil's game. Fear, doubt, intimidation. He is a bully. Y'all ever seen a bully? Thing about a bully is, I learned real quick in school, I didn't get bullied much, maybe a time or two, and that was about it, and that was first grade. First grade, that was this boy. I was usually a little bit bigger than the ones in my class most time. Anyway, there was this boy in my first grade class, and they didn't have kindergarten, I don't guess, then. But anyway, we're on the playground, and I don't remember what he done to me, but he did something to me. And when he did, I picked him up, and I body slammed him. He never messed with me again, Monty. See, that's the thing about a bully. They do a lot of talking. They do a lot of intimidating. They use tactics of fear, tell you what they gonna do and what you are and what you ain't gonna do. But I found out, Samantha, bullies, if you'll stand up, they're not big and bad. One throat punch and they cry and they mama. I'm serious. I've seen it. Over and over, the devil is the same way. Now, Scotty, he was always a little bitty guy. You know, he still ain't too big already, but anyway, we'll leave that alone. But anyway, when he was in school, see, he's third from the youngest. There's two younger than him, two brothers younger than him. And he was always a little guy, so he's got all these older sisters and brothers. So anytime somebody messed with him, all he's got to do is go say, hey, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Well, he told me this story that one time he's on the bus, and this guy, we won't call his name other than Jack, and he's just beating the far out of him. He said every time he gets up to punch him, you know, the guy's bigger, got a longer reach, he knocks him back down in the seat. Well, lo and behold, let's say, what is this? One girl, one brother. What is it, three above you? Tammy, Eddie, and then Glenn? Or is it Glenn, then Eddie? Anyway, two or three above Scotty. He gets on the bus, and he sees what's happening. Well, to make a long story short, whenever his brother Glenn gets through with this guy that is beating Scotty, beating the pudding out of Scotty, he never messes with him again, Monty. Why am I telling you this story? That is exactly what Jesus has done for me and you. According to Scripture, Jesus Christ whooped him in front of his mama and everybody else, so to speak. Made a show of him openly, the Bible says. That means the devil, which was the head of all principality and power and ruler of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places and anything else that there may possibly be, he whooped them. He stripped them of all power and authority. They are nothing when you are born again. Nothing. They have absolutely no power, no authority over me and you. If we're born again. But see, he'll tell you, who do you think you are? I know what you did. Gosh, y'all getting quiet. I know what you did. I know what you think. If you was all that righteous, if you was all that holy, if you was all that good, you wouldn't think those bad thoughts. Guess who injected those bad thoughts? He'll inject the thought and then accuse you for having the thought. But don't be stupid. I heard Keith Moore tell a story one time about this guy. He said every mind should have a bouncer at the door, like the beer joint or the nightclub, whatever. But anyway, so this guy, I can't remember right now if he like worked on real high buildings or whatever, the skyscraper buildings, or if he was up on a high building just visiting, looking at something or whatever, you know. But anyway, he's up there real high. And he said, all of a sudden I had this thought, why don't you jump? He said, and when I had this thought of why don't you jump, he recognized the thought like that, Monty. And he said out loud, why don't you jump? I don't want to jump. Why don't you jump? But how many Christians, Johnny, would be up there, have that thought, not discern, this ain't me. Gosh, I must be suicidal. I'm wanting to jump. I better go to the doctor and get me some Xanax or something. I'm telling you, I'm about stressed out here. It ain't that we need Xanax and pills a lot of times. Right? We need to discern who is who. I'm born again. I don't think bad thoughts. Any bad thoughts comes to me, I say, nope. That's not my thought. I'm born again. I love God. God loves me. And I don't think bad thoughts. So that's not my thought, devil. Take your thoughts and just go on and get out of here. Or I just feel like I don't like you. Well, I don't care what I feel like. According to Scripture, the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, and I am to love the brethren as Jesus has loved me. Therefore, I love you. Right? No matter how you feel. Listen, most of the time, love is not a feeling. Y'all ever heard that song, If Loving You Is Wrong, Right? How can I be wrong? Or whatever it says. Yeah, I don't want to be right. That's what it is. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Because they got a feeling, Monty. I'll be married 41 years Tuesday. And I can tell you most of the time, I don't feel. I said most of the time. Now Saturday, I just missed him so bad yesterday, Monty. You just kept him too long with all that preaching you're doing. Just made me miss him so bad. But now last week, way before that, y'all better take him. Y'all better get him somewhere. Away from me. Why am I saying that? Because it's not a feeling. I'm married 41 years because the Holy Ghost majorly helps us. Everybody don't. Let me tell you something. Wherever you get hit the hardest usually is where the devil is the most scared, Monty. Because see, from the day I met him one night at the skating rink. He didn't come back and see me for 2 weeks. That's how dumb he was. I even had to tell him to marry me. I mean, God, his elevator don't go to the top all the time. But really, he met me, took me home from the skating rink or whatever. Sandy led him. We didn't tell Mama. Anyway, she knows now. But what's she going to do to you? but anyway, he took me home, and then he goes home, and somebody, we won't name no names, but we know who I'm talking about, told him he could do better than me, Monty. Can you believe that? I can't neither, I'm telling you right now. But anyway, that's how dumb they are. Anyway, I mean, we're talking about the plan of God. Now, we don't know God. We don't serve God. We got feelings. That's all you go by when you don't serve God. Anyway, so he don't come back and see me, Johnny, for 2 weeks. And then one day he just shows up one night, late at night. I thought he was Papa. I couldn't see in the dark. Pulling up there. Here he comes creeping back up through there, you know, like, hey, I just saw you yesterday. I guess he had a Holy Ghost moment. I don't know. Anyway, here he is and here we go. The whole time we're dating, it is just, oh, it's wonderful or it is hell. I'm telling you. And we dated for over 2 years near, I mean, a year and a half. Jerking me around and then I had to smack him a little and different stuff. I had all kinds. I should have got a clue. Because you're not going to smack me around. You might smack me around, but you know I've been there. Because I'll be getting something. Anyway, gosh, y'all stop that. I got a fist, I had to stop. But anyway, he didn't come back and see me. Then he did come back and see me. Why am I telling you all this? Because, see, Johnny, the devil knows. And he is terrified of what me and him will do together. So he does everything he possibly can, and my flesh helps at times, and so does his, to get us apart. Because me and him will never do by ourselves what God has called us to do and enabled us to do together. I got to stop because actually we're a few minutes over. I heard you went over too, Monty, so I can't get in trouble today. Thank you. All right. We've recessed till 11. Anybody has anything to say, go ahead.